You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 24th of December, 2018. It's Christmas Eve, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say today that we have a very special guest with us. Unfortunately, Max Musson can't make it. He will be back either next week or the week after, but we are very pleased to say that we've got a very illustrious stand-in today. We've got Eddie Morrison with us, who you may recall from the 50 Years of British Nationalism series, which we did earlier in the year, which I do recommend people check out. So, Eddie, how are you doing today?
Oh, not too bad. A bit older than we made since we last broadcast, but still ticking away there, yeah? Yeah, well, I like being called illustrious. You can keep using that.
Well, you're a bit of a vintage nationalist, you are, Eddie. You've been on the scene for so long.
Vintage.
You've got a lot of insights, I think, that you can give to us today, especially to new nationalists that are just coming to
the
it.
The thing is, some of it's like you asked. We were talking before about White Voice, which comes out every 2 weeks. And I'm doing a major article on basically what's to be done. Same article I seem to be doing at the end of the year, every year, what we're going to do, because Britain's about the only country that hasn't got anything like a populist movement that we can do anything out of. But I'm sort of sat in front of it, looking at a blank page, thinking, well, what have we got to do? I'll give every bit of information out I could possibly. So at that, at the moment, nothing to do with this recording, but that's going around in my head. You know, what we're going to do, how is white nationalism going to kick itself off in Great Britain?
Well, I think one of the most important things that happened this year, really, was the Free Tommy Robinson movement. I know he's not an ethno-nationalist in any way or a national socialist, but the fact that he was locked up meant that all the civic nationalists and the ethno-nationalists got together into this movement where we were supporting each other. And there is now a populist movement in Britain. And we've also seen UKIP as steered much further towards the right. Gerard Batten is talking about free speech issues. He's talking about Islamization, immigration, and he's even taken Tommy Robinson on as an advisor. So
if Batten dropped the prescription on BNP and NF members, I'd be one actually to probably be saying, you know, let's infiltrate, what they call not health infiltration. When we get ourselves into UKIP, quite frankly, because it's things are getting so bad now that even this elderly white nationalist is willing to put up with a bit of populism. I'm very pleased to see what's happening in France, for instance, with the Yellow Jackets. It's running sort of pace for pace with the Tommy Robinson movement. I don't like Tommy Robinson in particular, but I want to say one thing for Tommy Robinson. He's very brave and he's very courageous in himself. I saw him stand up to some Antifa. Six of them attacked him and he held his ground. So he's just not all blather. But I think we're certainly going to have to suck with the devil for a while we need a big populist movement in Britain for white nationalism to emerge out from, as has happened in America with Trump. White nationalism has been given an injection. Certainly in France, I mean, the Yellow Jacket movement seems to be completely nationalist. I didn't see any non-white faces on it whatsoever.
Oh, it definitely seems to be French patriots that are involved in that. I mean, Tommy Robinson, he's had a lot of death threats. He's had people that have actually been sent to prison that were carrying out plans to execute him. So I agree with you there that he is very brave. But the way that I see it, I mean, over the years, there's been more and more of a clampdown on free speech. I mean, you couldn't today, you couldn't have a politician that exposed the Jews, for instance. Every one of the parties, every one of the political parties has got a Friends of Israel section to it. And if anyone was to be exposing the Jews, that they would be shut up. They would be silenced, basically. And I can see that in 10 years' time, people that are exposing Muslims like Gerard Batten, he won't even be able to do it. So I see it. You know, we've got to support these guys now because they're all we've got left.
Yeah, this is where for many years I've been a purist and not messed about with populism. Griffin's experiment with populism in the BNP, I fought it all I could. But he did actually work to a large extent. He got masses and masses of people, well, he got a hell of a lot of people elected to council. What was it, like 100-odd councillors he had? Two MEPs? But what Griffin then did, he didn't need to do, because he was getting the publicity and he was getting people elected, he started cutting out on his basic policies. He seemed to be doing that despite his membership, not despite his membership. Certainly no need for him to have a seat candidate given the election address. So, yeah, populism in Britain is there. Griffin proved it. Unfortunately, Griffin is not one of my favourite characters. The people that are coming out for Tommy Robinson, they're from all walks of life. There's that veterans and patriots. There's almost be 6, 7, 8 groups all coming together. So I'm all in favour of that. If we can reflect what the Yellow Jackets and what they've done in Italy as well, from these big populist movements, the more hardline elements have got a chance of standing up.
What we can take from Italy is that even the left-wing party is working together with Lega Nord and Matteo Salvini to form that coalition, which I was really staggered by, that the left was working with the far right, and it's been really successful. That's the great thing about it. He's succeeded in doing more than Donald Trump has. I mean, they've cut back on 99% of immigration to Italy. He's managed to cut back on just within a year, and also while still being a part of the EU. That's the really incredible part about it.
I don't think the EU, I would say give it 5 years. I can't see the EU lasting longer than that, to be honest with you. And if the EU collapses from internal pressure, because Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic, none of these people are happy. Greece certainly isn't happy. I can see Greece, possibly Italy being next. And there's a massive... there's a massive movement in Poland as well for coming out. So, the states that dominate it, Macron in France and Merkel in Germany, who's going anyway, the states, the Benelux states as well, can they hold all these other states together any longer? It was all right before they had to deal with all the Eastern European states, which had just got rid of communism, and to which political activism is a day-to-day thing. And it's upset all across the EU bloc, which they had 20-odd members. They've now got, 40-odd members or something?
Right, quite a few. I guess...
But they're kicking over the traces.
Yeah, well, we've got some news to actually talk about with Brexit while we're on the subject. But just while we were talking there about the Yellow Jackets, I think one of their demands is to move out of the EU. And I think the reason why there's been this uprising is because Macron said that he was a globalist, which is effectively saying, I'm not there to represent France. I'm there to represent all the other countries in the world. And I think that infuriated the Frenchman. And I think that's what we're not being told about.
The thing was, the French rural, the rural countryside people, France is, it's a lot different in Britain. If you drive through France, vast areas are still rural, and they need their cars, they need the tractors, and it's amazing, you know, Macron goes to this top level summit thing on the myth that of the fuel oil, climate change. And then comes back and puts huge taxes on oil to try and keep in with all his pals in this And I say fake, I don't believe in this climate change thing. I think it's a bit a lot of rubbish, quite frankly. But, you know, it goes, now it's, I've decided it's going to help with climate change. You'll all have to pay extra for your oil. Well, the French, God bless them, have actually risen up and said, no, you know, they knock on from that, of course, and more people will start thinking, is there anything in this climate change thing anyway?
Well, there's been a, uprising in Brussels as well from the Yellow Jackets that have said basically we don't want our money being siphoned off from France to Africa, which is what the Paris Agreement is, that America pulled out of as well. But then what happened, you had the Marrakesh, the Morocco agreement, the UN pact on immigration, which is basically saying that everybody in the world has the right to go to any other country that they like, and they want to make it hate speech to criticize that. Well, the Brussels Parliament, the guy in charge of the Brussels Parliament, went and signed that, but Vlaams Belang were part of their coalition and said, we're not having this. So the Parliament has fallen apart. It's collapsed. The government's collapsed. And 5,000 Yellow Jackets descended on the European Commission and smashed the windows and rioted about it. And that's, you know, that's the European Commission. And that's pretty central to Europe. So we are seeing it fall apart right before our very eyes at the moment. And here in Britain, you know, we've still got these people that are desperate to join it, that are desperate to stay with it. You know, I'm sure you must have been following all of this that happened just 2 weeks back with Theresa May and her deal that she brought, or she didn't actually bring before Parliament, and there was the vote of no confidence.
Well, Theresa May is not a Brexiteer. Theresa May wants to stay in Europe. She's having to do mental somersaults every time she meets these people. In 2016, the beginning of the year when Cameron was still on the throne, she was really, really pro-European. By November, when Cameron had gone and we'd won the Brexit election, she all of a sudden says, oh no, the best thing for us is Britain out of Europe. You know, she's a complete piece of scum, quite frankly, Theresa May. How she can even walk into that, you know, anywhere with her head held eyes, I don't know, she's got some real cheek just walking about.
She's an embarrassment. She's an embarrassment to the country.
She
basically is,
absolutely. She's probably, I would say, even taking Thatcher into account, she's the worst prime minister we've had in the last 100 years. Perhaps apart from Churchill. But mind you, she's handing over. She was willing to hand over. I was still willing to hand over complete control. She refers to a European Commission. At least Churchill had some glimmer of wanting a Britain to be an independent one, even if you're citing the wrong people.
Well, I think we were looking at what Theresa May had been doing, and the fact that she held off on the vote on her deal right up until January, when there won't actually be time to discuss it or change it. And the EU have said, well, we're not actually going to change it. And a lot of people have been thinking, well, this is because she wants to force a second referendum on the country.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I mean, I've also got conflicting news on that. I mean, the first bit of news I've got on that is this actually comes from George Osborne, the former MP for Tatton, told the BBC that a second referendum was under discussion in Downing Street, even though it's being denied. Mr. Osborne, an ardent Remainer, said that the original idea for a referendum was a mistake and that the issue of Europe was too complex to be decided by the public. However, he explained a second referendum or general election were the likeliest options on hand to resolve the impasse. He said, in my view, a general election is at the moment an underreported likelihood for 2019, because in the British system, the simplest way to resolve political impasses is to return to the public at a general election. There is a way, of course, for the government to avoid that, and they are terrified of an election. They can themselves embrace a referendum, and that is clearly under discussion in Downing Street, even though it's being denied. And we've got Amber Rudd that's calling for this, and various other MPs that are saying we should have a second referendum, and that's absolute treason. We've had the referendum. We've had the results from it.
Actually, with the much hated Amber Rudd, because she's been going, and we can't have a second referendum. The people have spoken. But it just, when you look, you pack it all into one package, Sven, the whole thing is just, it's democracy, and democracy lies, isn't it? Every general election, we go along, we vote these people in. As far as they're concerned, you know, we're just idiots. They'll say what they want, do what they want, lie as much as they want, because they can get away with it, they can cover it up. The civil service is rotten with the same sort of people. So the only way really is, you know, when a government oppresses its people this much is the people who've got a government. Quite frankly, you know, it's if revolution really takes to the streets of France and Belgium and wherever, quite frankly, I hope it spreads to Britain.
Well, it could well do if they end up having a referendum, because you got 17.4 million people that already voted. They gave their instructions to the government that they were to leave the EU. They haven't done that. They've decided that we have to make a deal with them, which isn't what people voted for. Nobody voted to make a deal with them. But what do you think about this idea that there could be another election? Because this is quite worrying, because I think Jeremy Corbyn would probably win it. And Theresa May is, you know, pretty much forcing another election on us if they don't have another referendum. So what are your thoughts about that?
And a Labour government, you've got the frightening thought that the Home Secretary would be Diane Abbott. I mean, that in itself sends shivers down my spine. I mean, she's an innumerate woman, innumerate black woman that's, she actually slept with Jeremy Corbyn at some point. But to make her Home Secretary, when she's on record as saying the biggest problem in Britain as far as race is concerned is the white people. Well, she's going to make a great Home Secretary for us, isn't she? But that's the scary thing if Labour take power. There's nobody can think. I don't know. You've got Sadiq Khan there for London. I mean, it's not going to be too far off since we have a black, brown, or Asian prime minister.
I think this is the reason why the vote of no confidence went Theresa May's way instead of people voting against her, because they were frightened about Labour getting in there and Labour winning the election. And I also think that vote of no confidence was put through right at the very worst time it could be. And I think that was done because they knew she would win, and then there couldn't be any more leadership challenges for a year. The Tory party can't challenge her leadership for a year. And they couldn't vote her out, because if they did, Corbyn would have got in. They would have said straight away, well, we want to have an election. And then Corbyn would have got in. So I think that's what was going on there. But I've found another piece of news here, which I find this really interesting. And I think most people aren't aware of this, but they can't actually have a second referendum. And this comes from the Express. A second referendum has been effectively ruled out as a result of secret legal advice taken by the government in relation to the possibility of extending Article 50, dashing the hopes of people's vote campaigners, including former Prime Minister Tony Blair. Experts have warned the government Britain would be legally obliged to participate in the European parliamentary elections to be held in May if it extended Article 50 and then sent MEPs to Brussels. There would be a high risk of a successful legal challenge in the event that the UK refused to take part in the elections, because to do so would be seen as breaching people's rights as EU citizens. Ministers believe July the 2nd, which marks the beginning of the Parliament's next five-year session, to be a hard deadline for extending Article 50. However, given it would take at least a year to prepare for a second vote, such an eventuality is effectively impossible. So because they haven't campaigned for any EU politicians, and because they've got this EU election that's due to be held in May, they couldn't hold another referendum here. They wouldn't be able to. And they wouldn't be able to extend it either, because we cannot be members of the EU past May, because we haven't had any EU
This all comes actually from the smugness of Cameron and May in the first place. They were 100 and 150% certain that they put a referendum to the people. They'd promised it. It was in the Tory election manifesto for the previous election. And the people will vote, stay in the EU, and that'll be it. Dust your hands off and let's get, you know, we can go back to being the corrupt cells that they are. They never, ever expected it to be a no. And that's why they've been running around like chickens with no heads. They just don't know what to do. They're swapping and changing all the time. But I'm disappointed with people like Boris Johnson and who's the other guy? Jeremy
Gove? Michael Gove?
Yeah, Michael Gove and the double barrel chap.
David Davis?
Yeah. They've, you know, even though he looks a bit of an oddity, does Boris Johnson. I think they are really in their hearts Brexiteers. They really want Britain to be out of the European Union. They could have put up a lot more fight and when it came to the vote of no confidence in May. They could have pushed a lot more backbenchers into voting no confidence and she would have been in a left and right situation. I think that would have triggered a general election as well, though.
The time for that was a couple of months back. That's the thing. The time for that was when she first brought out her plan, the Chequers plan, and everyone started resigning. That was when all those letters needed to be sent in. Because if she'd been kicked out now, and they would have said, right, well, we have to have an election, we would have had to have leave in March anyway. But unless we held an election for Euro MPs in May, this is the thing. Because we're not going to have an election for Euro MPs, we have to leave the EU in March. Mm. And that will be it for 5 years before there's another election.
I say it's an incredible mess. And it's because they've had no backup. I mean, the likes of Cameron, and going back to Cameron, when Cameron was Prime Minister, I mean, there really was nobody in the cabinet that was, perhaps apart from Johnson and a couple of others. There's nobody really in the cabinet that wanted to come out of the EU. They've got, all of a sudden, it's landing in front of them that they have to come out of the EU, and they're scrabblingly searching around, making pleasant noises to keep the people happy, and trying to find all sorts of ways to keep us, either to keep us in or to delay it as long as possible, to make it impossible for us to come out. This talk of this backstop that could be extended forever, for instance, I mean, that's not really been led to rest, has it?
Not at all. I mean, she said she's gone to the EU to get assurances, but they've said they're not going to make any changes. So her deal with the backstop in it isn't going to pass in January. It's going to get to March when we have to leave, and it will be leaving on World Trade Organization terms, which they could have done the very next day after the referendum. Mm. What they've done is they've given the EU 2 years to prepare for us leaving. That's what they've done, effectively. They've done whatever they can for the EU instead of for Britain. And all these people calling for a people's vote, they can't have one because we've got to be gone in 3 months' time. And there just isn't enough time to have a referendum and have a Euro MP election. No, we can't do that. We have to be gone. So it's all just hot air, really, all these Ramonas.
Do you think there'll be a general election before March?
I don't know before March. I think there will be one next year. I mean, May is saying she's going to stay until 2023, and I don't think the country will stand for that. I think they'll wander out before then.
It's just that when I look at some of the Labour people who would be taking top ministerial jobs, Diane Abbott being one of my hate figures, that sends a real shudder down my spine that these sort of people, they do exist in the Tory party, but they're not dominant as they are in the Labour party. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn's been an open IRA supporter for a large part of his life. The only thing, one thing I will say in favour of Corbyn, at least he tried to stand by his grounds for the Palestinian people. By refusing to immediately sign the anti-Semitism declaration.
Well, he does seem to have integrity, but he believes in what he's talking about. What we need is we really need real conservatives in the Conservative Party. Jacob Rees-Mogg, he seems to me to be a real conservative, but he's he sort of dithers about putting himself forward into a leadership role because he's not the sort of guy to push for that. And that's really who you want in these positions. You don't want egotists in there.
He seems to me about the most clear-thinking Tory on the agenda, does Rees-Mogg. He's personable. He doesn't get ruffled. I've seen him in talk shows and news casts, and he handles people very smoothly. It makes Theresa May look like an headless chicken. But as you say, he won't take that step and put himself forward. He's pushing Boris Johnson all the time for it. And I think Boris Johnson, unfortunately, looks too much like a figure of fun. Mind you, compared to what we've got with May, we'd probably be better off with a figure of fun.
Any of them would be better than May. Any of them, Boris Johnson, Michael Gove, Jacob Rees-Mogg, all of them would be doing a better job of it than Theresa May. They're all prime ministerial material. What I mean is that they're top, they're alpha males. She's not an alpha female at all.
She's
a follower, not a leader.
She's definitely she reaches even beta. We'll see. Each day brings another whole wonderful thing of surprises. I'm getting like a lot of people though with it, Sven. I'm actually getting bored with it, this Brexit thing. You know, if for any reason they brought forward another referendum, which way would it go? Just being hypothetical. The millennials are all saying it would go with Britain stay in the EU. I think that could happen for the simple reason that a lot of the people who voted to stay out the EU, like I did, are just so bored and confused with the old situation. Because a lot of the people over the 50, 60 mark, and there's quite a high percentage of the population, would they actually turn out and vote? And as you say, you don't think there will be a second referendum anyway, it's illegal. But it does bear the thought that people are getting so sick of politics. But this has been another time, the numbers in any sort of election are falling off all the time. People are losing interest in, through Brexit, people are losing interest in democracy itself.
Losing faith in it, yeah. I think if they did hold another referendum, I think more people would vote for Brexit because they've seen what the EU are like now.
I'd go down and vote for it. Yeah, maybe there would be a backlash like that, but it'd be nice to think so. But if you say it's illegal, I'm not sure I read the ins and outs of that. I think it was binding. Didn't Ireland have a second referendum?
Well, Ireland did, but the problem is they haven't got the time to have this second referendum because of the EU elections, which are in May. If we had a second referendum, we wouldn't have any Euro MPs. If they voted to stay in, we wouldn't have any Euro MPs because they wouldn't be able to hold the referendum until, say, 6 months' time. By that time, the EU elections have been held and there aren't going to be any more EU elections for another 5 years. So we'd be out, we'd have no representation, which would mean that it would breach our rights as EU citizens to have no EU representation for 5 years. So, you know, they can't actually do it. It's not physically possible without breaking all these other laws. Again, which is a collapse of democracy. So they've really tied themselves in a knot over this.
Completely, and unexpectedly for them.
So they
built a big animal that's going to turn around and swallow them.
Well, we've said for quite some time now, it's like a wounded, angry animal that's backed into a corner that's lashing out at nationalists that are pointing these things out and saying the emperor's wearing no clothes. But if you're getting bored of sort of talking about Brexit, I mean, we've also got some very current news at the moment, and this is the drones that have stopped all the flights over Gatwick. 150,000 people unable to get on their flights. I think there was a thousand flights that were actually stopped. Millions and millions of pounds this has cost, and they thought it was too white people, a white company.
They've arrested two.
It's not them, though. They've now let them go. They've said, no, it wasn't these two people. I mean, I've got suspicions that it might be Muslims. It might be Islamic terrorism.
Well, they brought the drones down using missiles that they'd taken down ISIS things with before. They brought the army in to take the drones down. I haven't seen anything mentioning ISIS. All I saw this morning was the boss that said Greenpeace activists have been arrested. I can't understand what Greenpeace... Gatwick's been there since... Well, I was there before even Heathrow was built, and it's only one runway, which has been extended, I admit, but it'd be a strange thing for Greenpeace activists to suddenly pick on.
Well, I was just thinking...
Heathrow...
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit there, Eddie.
Is that any better?
Yeah, what I was thinking is, you know, I mean, if you were looking at ways to attack the infrastructure or attack Britain, and you were thinking of simple ways, I mean, how simple is that? Just getting a drone and flying it near an airport, and that will mess up all the white people's Christmas holidays, all the British people's Christmas holidays messed up. I mean, well, you've got to really hate the British people to do something like that to them. And, you know, I just thought, well, that could be a Muslim that's done that. And
they have to keep our eye on it and see what, you know, see what comes of it. It seems too big for two people in the back of a car.
It's a planned operation. They have to land every 38 minutes. They have to land to get new batteries put in. Every 38 minutes. So this is a planned operation. And Theresa May has said, oh, whoever it is, we're going to throw the book at them. And guess what the maximum penalty is? 5 years. That's all. 5 years for millions and millions of pounds worth of damage. 150,000 people's Christmas holidays wrecked. Those airlines probably won't actually make a profit this year because the profits are actually really marginal to actually have the airport out of action for 2 days.
Heavy compensation.
Yeah, well, they've said that they're not going to compensate people because it's an unforeseen event. So insurance isn't going to pay up.
So it's going to come down to, is it an act of God or is it an act of Allah?
Well, you know, this is just it. I mean, if you think about it, it's got to be people that really hate the British people, really, really hate them to do something like that. So I don't think it would be Greenpeace.
I think we're going to have to see if it happens at any other airports. If it had happened at Heathrow, it would have been 10 times worse, of course, because they've got the four runways at Heathrow. There's a plane lands at Heathrow. It's the busiest airport in the world. I think it's 3 or 4 a minute, actually, land at Heathrow. So you can imagine the absolute palaver that would have resulted in that. The other thing is, of course, these drones are so easy to get and so cheap to buy. Such a small thing to cause so much disruption shows that these let's presume it is ISIS or Al Qaeda or somebody just hypothetically, a couple of ISIS supporters in the back of a disused mosque could for less than £100 could stage a complete disruption of any British airport, and that's the frightening thing that you're talking about, isn't it?
It is. Well, that's what I mean. And what other parts of our infrastructure could so easily be tampered with like that? So much that we just take for granted that we don't have defences for. And, you know, these Islamic terrorists have got to be thinking about these things. What ways can we get at the British?
Water supply, national grid. Yeah. Lots and lots of things. It is a scary situation. Did you read about this gang matrix that Sadiq Khan's been calling?
This is a second news story that we've got here to discuss. You know, this just highlights the way that these people are so detached from reality. Sadiq Khan calls for overhaul of Scotland Yard's gang matrix as 4 in 5 names on it are shown to be black. Sadiq Khan is calling for an overhaul of Scotland Yard's controversial gangs database after it was found to include a disproportionately high number of young black men. The mayor today published a review of the confidential gangs matrix, which was created after the 2011 riots to identify those considered at risk of becoming involved in gangs. City Hall found that of the 3,200 names listed on the database, three quarters are under the age of 25 and four in five of them are black. It said that while there is evidence the list has helped to reduce offending rates, measures were required to restore trust and ensure it is used lawfully and proportionately. Obviously, it was being used lawfully. Obviously, it's worked. It's reduced the offending rates. And yet, Sadiq Khan has called for it all to be scrapped because it shows that it's mainly blacks that are involved in these gangs. Four out of five of them are black.
Sadiq Khan, as mayor of London, has obviously been a disaster. But could any politician of the present crew, the way things are set out in London now, could anybody keep any sort of control of the rising crime in London? It's impossible. I mean, you've got all areas there which are just like parts of New York were before there was a crackdown over there. It's there's no-go areas. I mean, I try and go through Wembley lately, by the way, Sven, for instance. I wouldn't take a walk through Wembley in broad daylight carrying a Kalashnikov and feel safe. It's there's just lurking gangs on every corner. I went down there for a year ago for something to do with nothing to do with politics, but I was the only white bloke on the bus. And people were looking at me strangely, you know, and I felt highly uncomfortable. And these people looked like gangsters, you know, they had the rap music, all the jeans and halfway down their trousers. And you can imagine most of them were probably armed with knives. I'm not just approximating on that, I'm pretty certain they were, just by the look of them. And I was glad to be out of the place. And when that's just one area. I mean, most of London now, large areas of London, are unpoliceable. You can talk about disproportionate and controversial gang database and what did we mention? The gang matrix and all this sort of thing. That's just words. Since 1948-49. We've been letting ourselves get a growing crime problem in London caused by mass non-white immigration, which has now just spiralled completely out of control. And we're now at one with Lagos and Johannesburg and New Orleans and all the other cities where basically the non-whites are running riot. And you can call it whatever name you want. You can have as many operations as you want. The bright spark on the horizon is maybe the police are getting sick of it. I noticed the police in France were actually forming up with the yellow jackets. They're having a blue jacket demonstration. The police are that fed up. Maybe the London police will get that fed up and they'll do something. But if you have a bomb on the beach, and you know that it's impossible to really police your area, I mean, you know, are you going to stay in the police? It's got a huge turnover of manpower as the police now, because people don't feel that they're getting anything done. I talked to a local police officer last year for where I live. We have a regular police call on us because of our age, because I'm over 90. And she said that if she was asked, she'd been in 25 years and she was on her way out. She said, she was asked by anybody, any young person wanting a job, would they go in the police? She'd say, under no circumstances, join the police. She says, it is the most politically biased, politically correct, dominated organisation in the country, because it's up at the sharp end. And she says, it's impossible now to actually police things. You know, so that's what you've got in London in spades. Not using that word in a prerogative sense, of course.
They're just policy enforcers. That's what they're policy enforcers, and they're enforcing the politically correct policies of the government at all costs. And the costs of doing that are now evident all around us with the violent crime wave that's happening. And they're still trying to deny that it's happening. They're still trying to hide it. Sadiq Khan is trying to get rid of this database, even though it's worked. And his, what he's saying, how this needs to be dealt with, is to treat it as a public health crisis. So he thinks that, teaching people to be hygienic, maybe wash their hands or something, maybe that's going to stop it. And he said, I think he means by educating people that that's going to stop it. That's not going to stop it. The only way to stop it is to remove the people that are actually carrying it out. I mean, we can continue with this article and just see how ridiculous these things that they are that they're actually saying. The review also said the representation of young black men on the Matrix is disproportionate to their likelihood of either causing or being a victim of gang violence, and communities have deep reservations about how it operates. What were you trying to say there?
I was showing the argument back at you, back to this police officer I spoke to. Oh, for a good 2 hours, she came round for it was just a general check. I was safe and this, that and the other, because it's a bad area I live in. And it turned into a 2 hour long debate. She noticed that I was possibly not a member of the SDLP when she saw the Confederate flag and the big picture of Rudolf Hess on the wall. But I think she didn't bat an eyelid. But she said that the only police, she's taking it on one step further. She said the police that are getting on are the ones who will conform to political correctness, who will be completely colorblind, and basically will come down on the sides of the establishment. If he gets a promotion, we know Freemasonry runs riot throughout the upper echelons of the police. So the people who have been attracted and can get on in the police are completely the wrong sort of people. The sort of police, so it's not just a question of we've got a massive black gang problem, which we have. We've also got a massive white police problem as well.
And they're trying to encourage more blacks to join. They're trying to say that we must allow black criminals to become magistrates. We must allow black criminals to become police because they're all criminals. They've all got criminal records. None of them can become police or magistrates if we don't allow them in there with criminal records. So they're basically saying we have to allow the police and the magistrates to be criminals. And they think this is going to cut down on the amount of black crime. I mean, this is nonsense. I mean, the people are saying here that this matrix doesn't work because they're not likely to be involved in gang violence, but they are. We can see that by the amount of blacks that there are in prison. Yeah, and the fact of this matrix.
Headlines such as black police gone rampage, stabbing rampage in Brixton tube station.
And it says it adds further investigation is to be carried out to understand if this disproportionality is legitimate and to be transparent. Of course it's legitimate. They're not just going around there sticking black people on there because they're black. They're putting them on there because they're involved in crime. The report comes after an investigation by the UK's data watchdog accusing the Met of serious breaches of data protection laws. Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denham said details about individuals suspected of gang involvement were inappropriately shared with housing and education authorities, potentially jeopardising their careers and alienating community. I know if you're running a housing authority or an education authority, you want to know if the people applying are black criminals or not. How is that alienating the community to say, well, we're not going to actually give you this housing because we can see you're a juvenile delinquent and you're likely to go out stabbing your neighbours?
The liberal types that are saying this sort of thing and writing this sort of thing and doing these studies, it's impossible for you and myself and yourself as white British nationalists to actually understand their thought processes, because they're basically, the stuff that they say is straight out of Lewis Carroll. It's really got nothing to do with reality. I mean, to say that they shouldn't be passing details on to people who might affect the jobs in the future. They certainly pass white details on. I mean, I've had many a job lost because people have found out from background checks that I've been in the National Front, or I'm a notorious fascist, this and the other. I've lost I've lost a lot of jobs, well over a dozen through that. So they don't mind checking on me, and I haven't caused any race riots, not that I know of lately anyway. But They don't. These people don't live in the real world. Have you heard of this a psychologist is doing the tour of Britain at the moment. Just trying to bring his name to mind. He's written a book called The 12 Ways to Live.
Is it Jordan Peterson?
Yes. Have you heard him?
Yeah, he was very good when he did a debate with a feminist on Channel 4, and he destroyed the feminist. But he deliberately hides things. People have stood up and asked him at one of his speeches about the Bolsheviks, and he just sort of held his hand up and says, well, I'm not going to go there. He won't go into Jewish power. He tries to cover over identity politics, tries to cover over race, thinks we're all the same race. But, you know, I guess he is useful as a stepping stone to get to us. And he's a very clever man, and he's against political correctness, but his solutions aren't really solutions from what I can see of it.
No, but it's interesting that, he's a pretty high, you know, he's a pretty well thought of in the psychiatric and psychology world. They're giving him time, they're giving him air cover, in which case, yeah, I would agree with you, he's not going to attack the real people. But this book he's written, 12 Rules for Life, I have been reviewing it for White Voice, and it's 12 Rules for Life, an antidote to chaos. And what he says is basically quite, The people don't think any longer in sensible ways. We don't think like, we don't think or act, like human beings used to. Liberalism now is so entrenched in society, it's actually changing us as human beings.
Irrational and neurotic. It's turning us irrational and neurotic. We're not actually acting rationally anymore. I mean, anybody rational would look at that and say, right, 80% of the gangsters on that list are black. Therefore, obviously, 80% of the gangs are black. We've therefore got a problem with blacks involved in gangs. But they don't say that. They say, oh, there's a problem with the list itself. The list itself is racist. We have to get rid of the list because this will upset the communities. This will upset the communities. Well, it's those very communities that are carrying out all these crimes. Why should you worry about upsetting them?
And you end up, we don't end up doing some assaults. We know what it's about. But they end up, majority of these people who are supposed to be running the country, they end up having to do such mental somersaults that in effect they are becoming unstably insane. They refuse to recognize race as a social contract. It's a social construct. Race doesn't actually exist. I mean, that's so ridiculous. They're now saying that gender doesn't exist. It's a social construct. Well, you know, how do you tell men from women? You know, oh, well, it's just a question of how we look at it. Well, it isn't really, is it? Men and women are different. That was one from Jordan Peterson. That when he asked, that we can accept 6 or 7 different genders. We're moving away from actually being human beings. So, you know, there's a utter madness of cultural Marxist liberalism, if you don't know what you really call it. Cultural Marxism, really. There's an utter madness in cultural Marxism that will basically, the lunatics are in power and the ordinary people on the streets, but it should be the reverse, shouldn't it?
I think it's the forces of evil in the universe making themselves known, making themselves more known and more apparent to drive people towards the good and drive people towards nationalism and drive people towards what's right. And this is why we're seeing this. This is why we're seeing the government turning on its people. It's becoming more and more apparent. It's becoming harder and harder for people to deny. I mean, just normal people reading this news story are going to say, what? Hang on a minute. Must be something wrong with the list. No, this is showing who it is that's committing the crimes. Are they saying that all the police that recorded this are corrupt? They can't be. This is London police. They've got diversity questions.
This unnatural thinking that you're saying, which is reflected in this London report. The fact is that what they're preaching, what the liberals are preaching, what the they're trying to put into effect and kid the self and social construct, etc., is so unnatural that nature itself will react against them through the people as its weapon. And one thing white nationalism is, people ask me what I believe white nationalism is. I always say that it's the political expression of nature. So when these people can't really win in the end, unless every single one of them, of us, every single person, was classified as a raving schizophrenic or something that would accept these ridiculous ideas. They live in their mad, mad world, and they're trying to give it to us, they're trying to inflict it upon us. And nature will have its way. Nature, like with AIDS, we saw, that's a good example with AIDS, actually. It's completely unnatural for men to have sex with men. And don't tell me AIDS didn't come from that. It did. And that was nature hitting back. Nature hit back in overcrowded London in the 16th century, when people were pouring slopping straight into the sewers, open sewers, and wondering why typhoid was breaking out all over the place. That's nature saying we're doing something wrong. So nature's going to hit back at these people one way or another.
I see it that just having multiculturalism itself is so anti-nature, diversity is so anti-nature, that whatever happens, there's going to be friction. And the longer you go with multiculturalism without removing the other races, the more that friction increases. So it starts off with a few muggings, a little bit of drug dealing, then it gets to prostitution, then it gets to burglaries, then it gets to stabbings, shootings, acid attacks, grooming gangs, terrorism, beheadings, machete attacks, attacks in broad daylight, rapes in broad daylight, and it will keep increasing and increasing and increasing until something is done about it. And it is the forces of nature behind
it. Yeah, reminds me of the T.S. Eliot poem, the first couple of lines, in the wasteland, things fall apart, the centre cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. And that is exactly what's happening.
Yeah, it's the forces of good against the forces of evil. And
it's nice to be on the forces of good, because people have been telling me I've been evil for the last 50 years.
Well, we like to repeat it. So, you know, so people try to be good as well. You know, you're on the side of good, and you know that, you know, you need to be good as well. Yeah. And what we're being taught is wickedness. It's pure evil, what we're being taught, to miscegenate, and homosexuality is fine, and it's fine to steal a child from its mother and hand it to two fathers. You know, it's just child abuse. It's horrific, the things that are going on. But, you know, they have to be to force us to realise who we are and what side we are on.
Well, nature's been running this world for 4.5 billion years, which is a lot longer than Theresa May's been running things, although at the moment it seems like that. But it'll bite back on nature in a big way, and if it does in a political way, it'll be through the rise of white nationalism.
Well, that's it. I mean, it is pushing back now. That's why they thought they'd got rid of us. They thought, right, we've crushed the BNP. We've got rid of the National Front. Farage has left the UKIP. UKIP has fallen apart. Yeah. We'll lock up Tommy Robinson. And, you know, we've just got this huge movement in the summer that's come about because of it, because they're fighting against nature. They can't win.
They've knocked heads out of the way. They've got rid of some people. They've pushed the names and movements about, but the groundswell's been building all the time. You can tell it. I can tell it. Everybody I can speak to can tell it. Something's rumbling underneath. Let's hope it explodes as quickly as possible. I don't mean that in an exploding situation, but you know what I mean, don't you?
It's happening all over the world, isn't it? I mean, it's happening over Europe in France, in Brussels, and, you know, if they don't do the right thing over Brexit, then the likelihood is it's going to happen here. We've already got
not only in the white worlds either, because even in China there is lots of distress now. That in China, sort of the workshop of the world, production is falling, wages are falling, their population is drastically falling. It's hitting not just white countries as well, it's lunacy is spreading.
Well, you've got Bolsonaro in Brazil, we've got him to look forward to. He's going to be sworn in January. You've got to see what he's going to get up to. Duterte in the Philippines. So, yeah, it's not just in the white world, but it's good to see it happening in Europe. This big pushback.
I think, you're a much younger man than me, but I hope to live a few more years. It'd be nice to see it happen. And it'd be nice to see all this infrastructure in Britain and Europe come crashing down around their heads. And we're left, the white nationalists and the ordinary normal white British man and woman on the street, and the ordinary European white man and woman on the street, actually dust himself off, pick himself up and get on with building a new Europe and a new Britain.
Well, we've been entirely vindicated. You know, everything that nationalists have said about what would happen with diversity, with Muslims in the country, all of it's happened. Terrorism, the rape gangs, the increase in violence, even, you know, what would happen if we lowered the age of homosexuality? We would end up with allowing queers to adopt children. We'd end up teaching children all about the mechanics of gay sex. All these things have happened. And, you know, they're now calling for legalization of pedophilia to say that that's just another, it's just another sexuality rather than, you know, something absolutely abhorrent and wicked and evil. All of these things have happened. White nationalists have all been vindicated. We've been proved right. We were proved right with Brexit. We proved right when we said that the country is behind us. And they were. And 17.4 million people voted to leave the EU. And that was a proxy vote against immigration. And we said that the government are traitors. And what have the government done? They know that's a proxy vote against immigration. Theresa May goes to Africa, makes deals with Africa, welcoming the Africans to come to Britain. And the new immigration deal that they just put forward, again, that's cutting back on European immigration and opening up to the rest of the world. We've been proved right. We're continually proved right. Eddie, I know you're short of time, and we've just about reached the end of the podcast here. So I'll say thank you very much for thank you very much for coming on today. Hopefully we'll hear from you again in the future. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back next week with more Aryan Britannia for you. And of course, we do hope you have a great week ahead of you.
Radio Aryan, for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.